Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, everybody say must believe that he is, and that you talk about one of the biggest three-letter words in the Bible, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I mentioned on Wednesday, that doesn't mean we seek him, and one day he will reward us. But I believe every day you seek him, he will reward you. It may be a close parking spot. It may be something bigger than that. Sometimes it's a far parking spot because he thinks you need to exercise. But whatever it may be, if you will seek the Lord diligently, daily, he rewards us. He loads us down with benefits every day. So my title for my message, and I believe I have a fancy slide made by my good friend, Brother Shindall. Amen. He's the best sermon slide maker in the world. My title today is, I Don't Know How, But I Know He Will. Can we love the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how, but I know you will. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated. I thank the Lord today. Faith is seeing the end before the end can be seen. Faith is the substance. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the ability to see what can't be seen. You see it in your heart. You see it in your faith. But when you open your eyes, you don't see it. But you close your eyes and you do see it. Sometimes that's the reason why we may pray with our eyes closed, because what we see when we open our eyes isn't what our faith sees. Closing our eyes sometimes gives us clarity and ability to believe that things that God has for us is different than the things that we see. An example of this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We all know the story. It may be one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's a story about David. And beginning with verse 40, I'm going to ask Brother BJ to read, just so I can say I'd at least let him read at least one verse. Hallelujah. Go ahead, read, brother.
And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones.
Everybody say that's David. Go ahead, keep
and
reading.
And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Go ahead.
And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him.
Okay, so I want you to see this. It wasn't just the giant, but there's a full-grown man walking in front of the giant that is carrying the giant's shield. That shield was taller than David. The man carrying the shield was taller than David. And, of course, the giant was taller than the man who was taller than the shield that was taller than David. Go ahead, keep reading.
And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance.
Go ahead.
And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
Go ahead.
And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field.
Go ahead.
Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.
So I want you to see this. Here is this man. History tells us he's over 9 foot tall. He'd make Shaq look like a short fella. Here is a giant, a biblical proportion giant. Some would say a mythological individual, except that we believe the Bible is true. This man is a giant. He had six fingers and six toes. He was of the the giants that we find in the book of Genesis. Here is this giant of a man, and he is coming out to fight a boy. Yes. I think it is a tragedy, but sometimes the Lord uses a negative circumstances to highlight the grace of God. It wasn't Saul who was head and shoulders among all the rest of Israel. He was the tallest. He was the most mighty, if you will, in all of Israel. He was the king. And he had no doubt the most glorious of armor and the most glorious of swords and the most glorious of shields. But he lacked the faith to face the giant. So for 40 days and 40 nights, Israel was under a cloud of discouragement. Israel was under a cloud of depression. Israel was under a cloud of the inevitable loss. But here comes this young man who isn't old enough to be in the army. He's only old enough to be an errand boy, if you will. But the Lord had to use someone that hadn't been under the cloud to be able to see the possibilities of God. And there was something about the spirit of David that allowed the king would sanction him to go fight. It's like he is agreeing to defeat, because here is just basically cannon fodder. We'll just send him out and we'll just get this over with. David is not bit by the doubt of the king, but rather he has faith in God. He actually is given the most glorious armor and the most glorious sword and the most glorious shield in all of Israel. And he says, I can't wear this because it's not mine. I haven't made it mine. This is not mine. I'm not comfortable fighting this way. So he walks down, and as he's walking, he's walking out of the camp of Israel. He walks down toward the valley, and there is a stream of water. And you're going to fight. And when he leaves the camp of the Jews, he doesn't have any stones. I just imagine he's reaching in there in his bag, and he's like, well, here's my sling. Oh, I forgot my ammo. So he reaches down, and he picks up 5 stones from the brook, and I just see him looking at it, which one's the best one, and shakes them off. He puts them in the bag, and I see him taking the best one, and he puts it in his sling, and then the conversation we just heard happens, and now I want you to keep reading.
Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That's the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth.
Go ahead.
So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David.
Go ahead.
Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled.
You know what? It doesn't matter how many times you've read that story. It never gets old. In fact, it gets better every time you read that story. You know, you've heard it said, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't bring a fake God to a God fight. Amen. Don't bring a sword to a God fight. David understood the battle is the Lord. It's not by the greatness of the warrior. It is about the reality of the God. And sometimes when we look at our obstacles and we compare them to our wallet and we compare that to our strength and compare that to our own ingenuity, we're going to look at that and say, there's no way we can win. But we've got to quit looking at our trouble and compare to ourselves and realize I am not this alone. I am coming to the God fight with the only wise God, my Savior, my Deliverer, my Keeper, my Protector. And in the name of the Lord, the demons have to flee. Oftentimes when we are approaching a situation, it seems David even seems to follow this pattern. He did not have a plan, but he had faith in God. And I just want to encourage you today that whatever the obstacle and situation that you may face in life right now, it may be smooth sailing, clear skies, and full wallets. But let me tell you, if there comes a day where there's a storm on the horizon and the winds are beginning to blow and the giants are bellowing, let me tell you, you can never go wrong trusting in God. You can never lose, amen, by using your faith in God to know, I don't know how God's going to do this, but I have faith that when we come out on the other side of this, I am going to be on the Lord's side. Hebrews 11 and verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Amen. You know, a fundamental story in the Bible is this story that is summarized in Hebrews 11. It is the story of Abraham. If you were to read, in fact, we can read Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. It is really a foundational understanding in the Judeo-Christian faith, the faith of the Jews and the faith of the Christians. This is a foundation stone to the faith in God that we have and that what we know about God. It is built upon a foundation of the Abrahamic covenant and the Abrahamic faith. And it is culminated in this story found in Genesis 22 and beginning with verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am.
I want you to understand that the only way we progress in faith is the Lord will allow and even orchestrate and even challenge us that our faith would be tested. An untested faith is not yet really faith. You can say that you believe in God, but you don't really know you have faith until you have allowed and God has allowed some testing in that faith. Go ahead, keep reading.
And he said, Now take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God told him.
Now, I want you to recognize this was probably the hardest request that God could make of Abraham. Abraham's faith up till the moment of the pregnancy of Sarah, it was all wrapped up in this son named Isaac. Isaac is a teenager. Abraham is a really old man. And his faith was a multi-generational faith that was wrapped up in his seed, his sons, and the son's sons. And here is the Lord testing him that he would offer the very essence of his faith and offer it as a sacrifice, killing, if you will, Isaac as a sacrifice. But Abraham believed. We'll read it here in a little bit. I just want you to know, Abraham didn't know how, but he knew God would. Go ahead, keep reading.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together.
Go ahead.
And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
So I want you to see this. They are walking up a mountain. The Lord sent him to a place. When he saw it, he knew what it was, where it was. So Isaac is carrying the wood. Abraham has the fire in his hand and has a knife. And so I don't know how much wood it took to have a sacrifice, but it was enough wood that a young man could carry. He's carrying the wood of the sacrifice. His father has the fire in his hand, has the knife in a sheath. And so the young man is carrying the burden, and he's struggling up this mountain, and he's like, something doesn't add up. We've got everything, but there's something missing in this equation. And he says, hey, Dad, what? I know you can forget things sometimes, but I see we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Read what he said.
And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together.
So Abraham knew, because we're going to read it about in Hebrews here in a minute. Abraham didn't know how, but he knew God would. He said, the Lord's going to provide a lamb. Now, he knew the Lord had told him he was going to sacrifice Isaac. But something inside of him said, I'm coming down off this mountain with Isaac. In fact, he told his servants, said, y'all wait here. I and the lad are going to go up yonder, but I and the lad are coming back down. How? I don't know how, but I know God's going to make a way. Keep reading.
And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
Abraham was fully committed. Go ahead, keep going.
And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.
So I want you to understand something. This may be one of the most challenging concepts of faith for some to fully grasp. God knows everything, the end from the beginning. God has perfect knowledge. I believe that the Lord understands in the way he created the world. He has given every one of us the ability to choose what we will do. And Abraham was a man that God called and had been following him all this time. I know Abraham loves me. I know Abraham believes in me. I know Abraham's going to teach his children how to do right. I know Abraham's going to teach his children to take and believe the covenant and walk in the covenant for generations. But some things God doesn't just take on faith. Some things God is not willing to give you credit for until you have carried the wood, till you've had the fire, till you take the knife, and you are willing to fully commit yourself and say, you know what, I don't know how, but I'm going to do what God asks me to do. It doesn't make sense to me, but I believe God, and I don't know how, but I know God will work this all out. Now, I want you, now, this is a mind-boggling thing. A God that knows everything says, what does he say? Now I know. Does he say it there?
He said that. He said, go ahead. Now, God, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns.
Yes.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
Uh-huh.
And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be.
Jehovah Jireh. Now, I want you to understand something. You'll never see the ram in the thicket till you're willing to get in the thick of it. If Abraham had never made his donkey ready, if Abraham would have never taken that three-day journey, if Abraham had never got the wood and got the fire and got Isaac and walked up the mountain, if Abraham had never reached the point of that place of full obedience, there would have never, he would have never known, nor would he ever seen that there was a ram in the thicket. There are some things in living for God and living life, you will never know what God can do until you are willing to fully trust Him, fully believe in Him, fully love Him. Because there's something we've got to remove from ourselves to take ourselves out of the equation and put ourselves in a situation. It's going to be in the hands of God. Sometimes that's finances. Sometimes that's relationships. Sometimes that's jobs. Sometimes it manifests in many different ways. But you will never see the ram in the thicket until you're willing to put yourself in the thick of it. Somebody said, amen. I don't know how, but I know He will. Hebrews 11 and verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Somebody said Jehovah Jireh. My Lord provides. Amen. You see this unfolding revelation of the nature of God. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know Him as a creator in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, you see how the Lord created the garden, and then finally He created mankind. And you see that God is a creator of man in His own image and His likeness. He created Adam and Eve. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3 that God is a God that wants to fellowship with a free moral agent. God is not looking for robots or puppets on a string. One of the greatest reasons that I am not a Calvinist, and if you don't know what that means, people that believe that everyone is predestined when they're born, they're either damned to hell or predestined to heaven. And there's nothing a person that's not predestined can do to go to heaven, and nothing that someone that is predestined can do to go to hell. It's settled. There's nothing that you can do. I don't believe that. I believe that's a lie. The Bible doesn't teach that. I do believe that there, no doubt there is in the Scripture, and we see in reality, there's a paradox that you see a surface throughout the Scripture. But we don't build doctrines out of the paradox. We build doctrine out of the principle. And there is a principle that we are all born with the ability to choose. We can choose life and we can choose death. We can choose righteousness. We can choose wickedness. We can choose us this day whom we will serve. And some will serve themselves and by default are serving the devil. I know a lot of people don't understand that when you serve self, self is the fuel of wickedness. When you pursue yourself interest. You see it in the political field. You see it in the business world. You see it in sports. You see it in all kinds of things. When people are motivated to promote themselves and protect themselves, who suffers? Everybody around them. But there is a principle of righteousness that seeks not only to preserve yourself by trusting in God and preserve your family by living righteous and virtuous and character-filled lives. In that effort to do what's right, you are doing right for the betterment of all and not simply for yourself. In fact, Jesus said, let the greatest among you be your servants. You want to be great in the kingdom? Be a servant to others. Somebody said amen. What did Jesus say? If any man desire to be my disciples, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It is a principle of self-denial and obedience to serve in the Lord in the difficult things that are contrary to your nature. That's righteousness, doing what God wants. Do you think that Abraham wanted to give up his son? No. But in the pursuit to really possess something, you must first give it to God. If you really want to know the goodness of God, you got to be willing to give your whole self to the Lord. And how do you know you do that? It's when you're willing to do the hard things. I celebrate you today. I know that some of you, it was a struggle to get out of bed. If I may say it myself, amen, I was hard to get out of bed this morning. Amen. I've heard the story about a mother knocking on the door of her son's room and said, "Honey, you got to get up and go to church." Y'all have heard this, right? And, "I don't want to go to church, Mama." "Come on, you got to get up. Mama, those people are mean to me." Knock on the door. "You got to get up. You got to get up and go to church." "Mama, I don't want to go." And she says, "Son, you got to get up. You're the preacher. You're the pastor." I don't ever feel quite that way. But we understand, right? Excuses, right? There's something that is bound up in the character of faith. There is within it a hardwired, no breaker. You know, they put breaker boxes in houses so when there's a short, the house don't burn up. But there's no breaker in your faith. The best thing that happens is if you break. You the breaker. We going to let God flow, or we going to just let it flip? Right? We just have to have this total unrelenting faith that says, I don't know how. Say it with me. I don't know how, but I know he will. Say it again. I don't know how, but I know he will. And sometimes I wouldn't say anything I've ever experienced is anything like what the scripture shows us of Abraham. But there is something in seasons of our life. We've just got to grit our teeth. We got to bow our back. We got to put our legs in place. We got to get our eyes set to say, I don't know how, but I believe in God. He is my helper. He's my keeper. I don't care what the devil throws at me. I don't care what happens on the job. I am fully persuaded that God's going to bring me through this. If you're ever going to see the ram in the thicket, you're going to have to get in the thick of it. Amen. What a revelation it was. How beautiful. Was that not the most beautiful ram? I heard somebody say, why was it a ram? Well, the Lord had to have that thing tied up somehow. Amen. He looks. Did he hear it before he saw it? Or did he see it before he heard it? I don't know. But the Bible tells us that when the Lord spoke, he looked up and he saw a ram in the thicket. I could just imagine. That's the most beautiful ram he ever saw. And if I was Isaac, I'd be saying, "Woo, thank you, Jesus. I don't know how." Sometimes in living for God, we are the Isaac. We are following someone we love. We follow someone that we believe in. We don't understand what's going on, and sometimes we don't understand, but we have faith in the faith of someone else sometimes, and we say, "I don't know how, but I believe in God. I've seen when the Lord has protected my father. I saw when the Lord delivered a Lot back into his hands. I know how the Lord has blessed my father. And if the God of my father has brought us through, I believe." Look what the Lord did. Oh, look what the Lord has done. I asked a pastor friend of mine as I was driving late to church. I got here about 9:45. I usually get here about 7:30, but I was moving kind of slow. Hallelujah. But I had this question. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Levi paid tithe in Abraham. So when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Levi, who was the priestly tribe, 150 years later, was given credit for paying tithes, and he was still in the loins of Abraham. So this was my question. When they sacrificed that ram, it's a barbecue, right? Was Abraham able to enjoy that roasted meat in the behalf of future Levi? There's no answers to this. This is just, I must have been hungry this morning. I just imagine the ram smelt good, right? I don't know how, but I know he will. And I want to encourage you, I'm almost done. How do I know? Because I'm at my last line. Stand with me. Amen. If you want to see the ram in the thicket, you're going to have to get in the thick of it. There are some things that we see in faith afar off, but the only way you will ever see faith close up is you're going to have to saddle your donkey. You're going to have to be willing to keep walking till you see the place the Lord told you to go. And you're going to have to get the wood, you're going to have to get the fire, you're going to have to walk up the mountain, you're going to have to build the altar. You've got to be willing to tie up. You're going to have to be willing to tie up the thing that would try to remove itself. And you got to be willing to say, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes. Help me sing it.